You know, when I tell Brother Philip I won't, I'll take a little bit of time, I'm already a short-winded preacher, so that means it won't be very long. So I do ask that you pray for me for what time I stand before you. There is a question that I had thought about this week, and it's went through my mind several times. And I always thought when I joined the church about 20 years ago that the hardest part of joining the church was going to be make that walk down the aisle and to have to turn around and look and try to say something because I wasn't sure what I'd be able to say to them. I wasn't sure how I'd be able to talk to them and explain to them that I felt like I knew I wanted to be, I was at home and I wanted to join the church. Most of them had known me for a long time, and I figured, you know, they'd look at me and say, oh, I don't think you're ready. I don't think that you should be coming down. I don't think you're ready. Just wait a little bit longer. And I was scared, and I held on to that pew, and I finally came down. And I thought, when that was over, it was wonderful. It was a great day, and I thought, this is going to be a lot easier. It's all easy from here on out. You know, that's got to be the hardest part of being a church member. And it is a hard part when you sit and you on those pews and you hold that when the Lord has worked on you and you keep fighting when you know that you should come down before and join because He has let you know it. But you know, it's the responsibility comes. It doesn't come right away. You don't understand it right away. But finally, after you've been a member for a while, you start to understand that there's great responsibilities that we hold as being members of the Lord's house. There is great responsibilities that we have to try to live up to. Now, we can't be perfect. None of us are perfect. The church that the Lord established was perfect. And then it became members came into it. And the perfectness kind of went away because none of us are going to make it. But you know what? We have a responsibility to do all that we can to uphold what He's given us. To make sure that we walk and live and we serve in a way that is honoring to Him. So when I was contemplating that question this week, I thought, man, over 20 years, I think it's gotten harder. I think it's gotten harder because I realize how many times that I fall short of what I know I'm supposed to do. The more I learn of what I'm supposed to do in the service to the Lord, the more I understand that I've got a lot of growing to do. I've got a lot of work to go. And two things that I thought about this week were doing the complete opposite. And I thought that's got to be what is the worst. When the Lord has laid it out for us and says, this is what you're supposed to do, and you don't do that. That is it. You know, Jonah didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's pretty simple what Jonah was told. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and that's what the Lord had commanded him to do. He said, go this way. And Jonah, like so many others of us would, you know, we're like, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's where I want to go. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go over this way. It's like when you sit and you're holding that pew for so long, the Lord is telling you, go down and ask for a home in my church. Make sure that you come down and you ask for a home and you can find out what you can start doing immediately as a member of the church. But you know what? We'll hold that pew and we'll say, no, I don't think, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. Next time, I'll be right on it. Next time comes and it doesn't happen. And the next time comes and it doesn't happen. Jonah learned the hard way. Jonah went the other way, and there's something Jonah says in there. He thought he was going to flee from the Lord. He thought he was going to leave the Lord. He was going to get out of His presence so the Lord couldn't see him. I'll tell you, the Lord is everywhere present, nowhere absent. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. The closest person to me in this world is my wife. She can look back at me and I won't even say a word. I won't do anything. She'll come up to me and she'll say, look, you need to start thinking about this and not this. I haven't said anything to her. I haven't said one word to her and she knows what I'm thinking. But you know who knows me better than that? The Lord does. The Lord knows me better than she does. He knows those thoughts that go through my mind. He knows the thoughts that I feel like I should do something and I don't do it. He knows where I lack and what I'm falling short of. You know, that's what the Lord does. Jonah knew. Jonah thought he was going to get away from the Lord. The Lord, nope, not going to happen. The great storm comes, and all of a sudden, Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on that are on the ship. Jonah's down there sleeping. They come and they talk to Jonah and they said, "You've got to do something. You need to get up and pray to your God. We need to find what's going on." Well, they go through it and they find out what's happening. He gets cast overboard and the Lord has a great fish prepared for him. He spends 3 nights and 3 days in that belly of that great fish and he is in darkness. He's out there. But you know what? He's not alone. He's not alone because he's praying to God and God hears him and delivers him out of it. But he ended up in a bad place, in a bad situation. So I thought, that's got to be it. That is what the worst thing is when you do the exact opposite of what the Lord is. But then, when you go over to Matthew 25, I started reading in Matthew 25. And I want to read a verse out of James before I get to Matthew. There's a verse in James 4:17. It says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doth it not, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It's not just doing the exact opposite of what the Lord says. It's sometimes doing nothing at all. Doing nothing at all when you know what you're supposed to do. You know what happens when we go over to Matthew 25? There's a parable here of a master who leaves. He's going away, and starting in verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He has 3 servants that come to him, and he gives 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and 1 1 talent. And that's what he gives to him as he's going to go away. And the one with 5 talents, he goes out, and he turns that, and he makes it 10. And the one that has the 2, he goes out and he does all with his 2 that he can and he turns it to 4. But you know what the one did? The one that was given 1 talent, he went and he hid it in the ground. He didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to make sure he kept that 1 talent. You know what? Let's just leave it be. So many times in a church it gets to be where everything's going pretty good. Let's not rock a boat. Let's not really upset anybody. Let's not really disturb anything. Church is going really well. But if there's something that we have to take care of, if there's something we have to handle, you know what? The Lord doesn't say to bury it. He says to take care of it. And if you know you're to take care of it and you don't do it and you sit there and do nothing, it's a sin. You know what happens to this servant that buried his 1 talent? Over there in verse 30, chapter 25, it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He ends up in the same sort of situation as what Jonah did. Jonah went exact opposite of what the Lord had told him to do. He went the complete opposite way. This man just took his 1 talent. He buried it into the ground. Doesn't seem like on the surface he's really doing anything bad. He's just making sure that when his master comes back, he has that 1 talent to make sure he can give it back to him. But you know what? We know back in the story that master tells him, "You know what you're supposed to do with my talent. You know what you're to do with that. You needed to make sure that you did something and you brought return of it from the usuries. You needed to make sure you made something with that 1 talent to give unto me that." When we know that we're supposed to do something, we can't sit by and do nothing. And you know what? I think sometimes that's the hardest thing. I've realized that when you feel like you're not going the exact opposite of what the Lord says, but you sometimes feel like it'd be easy to sit by and just let it go. Just let it be. You know what the Lord has commanded you to do. You know what the Lord is saying to do, but you just feel like you want to let it be. Because it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to cause a lot less stress. It's not going to be as hard on you. Well, you know what? You end up in the same place. You end up in that darkness. And I assure you, when we end up in a dark place, it's not good. Because if you're in darkness, you're away from the Lord. That's what happens to us when we do the exact opposite of what the Lord says, or if we make sure that we don't do anything at all, and we just let it be. You know, we have an example over there in Revelation of a church We have multiple examples of churches, and we can go through and look at churches that have done. They're not doing like they're supposed to. You go to the church at Corinth. You know, they 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they're allowing things to go on in the church that should not be happening. They know what they're supposed to do. They know that's wrong, yet they're still allowing it to happen. You think, well, that's bad. That's not good. But you go over there to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith Amen, and a faithful and true witness of the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He's saying, you're not really doing anything. You're not really making any effort to do anything. I'll spew you out of my mouth. We need to make sure that when we've been blessed like we have in this area, to know what it is, because we are blessed in this area. We are blessed with the amount of men that have great understanding, that the Lord is truly blessed to preach to us time and time again. That we can go out. You can sometimes go to a meeting. I think about Monday and Tuesday might be the only break of the week sometimes that you don't have a church meeting to go to. And it starts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know what? We need to make sure that we understand how blessed we are. It can get tiresome. It can wear you down. Your body feels like, I don't think I can go through another sermon. I don't think I can handle another one of them. Sunday night comes after a meeting, and you're like, oh, I don't know. This has been a long weekend already. I'm not sure I can make it. I'm not sure I can go again. Then you come Sunday night, and it's the best preaching you've heard all weekend. It's the best thing that there was. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't miss that. I'm so glad I was there like I was supposed to be. We're blessed in this area. We have men that are blessed. We have churches that are blessed. But you know what? It doesn't come without responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. There's a lot of requirement out of us. We have that understanding, and we need to make sure that we do all that we can to uphold what the Lord has commanded us to do. Don't go the opposite direction, but don't sit on your hands idly by either. I won't take any more time from Brother Phil.